It's good to be here tonight. We've enjoyed the service. Appreciate the congregational singing. Appreciate Brother Wayne's special. Appreciate this devotion. It's been a blessing. I want to say to the church, we appreciate the fellowship we've had. Appreciate the two meals we've enjoyed. And it's been a blessing. We want you to know that. Thank you from the deep of our heart. We'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 1. We'd like to read this entire chapter. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which with much content. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you yet, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into the kingdom, into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But you, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, and endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here again tonight. Thank you for this church and pastor. Thank you, Lord, for the invitation to come and to be with them this week. And I ask you, Lord, to help us. Lord, at this time, we're here to try to be a blessing. God, we realize that we're just a sinner saved by thy grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us and given us a message to preach. I ask you, Lord, to help us tonight, that you illuminate my mind, that I might be able to think clearly, be able to rightly divide thy word of truth. God, just speak to our hearts, I pray, tonight through thy word. Help us to leave here tonight, apply the principles of thy word to our hearts and lives, that we might bring forth fruit for thy glory. And we ask all these things in the love and name of Jesus, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Now I'd like to call your attention to verse number 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. We want to talk to you tonight for these few minutes on the subject, the believer's walk with the Lord. First of all, I'm thankful to be a believer. I'm thankful to be a child of God. I could spend the time tonight talking about how good God has been and for the privilege that we have to be saved. And I could preach on the amazing grace of God. Thank God for His grace. I don't know tonight where I would be if it were not for the amazing grace of God. I just mentioned it down a while ago to some of the brethren in the fellowship hall that my dad in early years was a drunk. I'm thankful I don't remember that. All I can remember is a preacher daddy. In fact, that's what all the grandkids called my dad until he died. Preacher daddy. But anyway, he loved alcohol. And he would work hard all week and go to town on Saturday and get drunk and have a hangover all weekend. But anyway, I'm thankful for the amazing grace of God. So tonight, I am what I am by the grace of God. And thank God for that great exalted privilege. So we want to talk tonight about the believer's walk with God. Not only am I thankful to be a believer, I'm thankful to have the privilege to walk with God. You know, so many people are missing so much. You know, they got this idea, well, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do the other. It shouldn't be that way. It should be, I want to do this. Amen. I want to do that. I want to do the other. Because there's something in me that makes me want to. And so, you know, it's a joy. I've used an example a lot of times that, you know, I'm a Fortner, and my mother was a Dublin. And we get together with the Fortners, and they was always talking about how that I favor my dad or act like my dad. And they get with the Dublins, and they're always talking about how that I act like my mother and talk like my mother and so on. That's natural. It just comes natural. It should do the same thing spiritually, amen? We should be like our Heavenly Father. I mean, so much we should be like the folks there in Antioch. They were so much like Christ, they called them Christians. And I'm sorry tonight that we drug that word Christian in the mud. It's a shame when people talk about being a Christian, you know, and people say, talk about this person in sin, this Christian, you know, being in sin. No, 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 that believer might be in sin, but the Christian's not. Amen? The Christian is Christ-like. Thank God for this. And I rejoice, you know, I just thank God for the blessings of the Lord. And I thank God for the privilege we have to serve Him. I'm grateful to have the privilege to preach. You know, I realize I'm a shallow preacher, and I don't know how these deep guys, I mean, I don't know how they keep their feet on the ground. Amen? I mean, because, you see, it's such a blessing to serve the Lord. And I'm grateful. You know, I'm proud to be a Fortner. I never have been ashamed to be a Fortner. I'm ashamed of some of the Fortners, but anyway, I'm proud to be a Fortner. And I never have been ashamed to be a child of God. Amen. Thank God for the fact that we are a child of God. We are the Lord's and He is ours. So we're grateful in that. Now we look in the first chapter. Now the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to this church in Thessalonica. This was a model church. Look what he said here in verse number 2. We give thanks to God always for you all. Think about that. We give thanks to God always. Paul said we're always thankful for you. I mean, it was a model church making mention of you in our prayers. Then he said, he commends them on their gifts, you know. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. In our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Then he goes on talking and gives them some great truth. Look what he said in verse number 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Thank God that we are God's elect. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. So we'll deal in a few moments with more about the word. But anyway, and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, there it is again, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples of all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So we rejoice in these truths. Now, as we think about this writer, Apostle Paul was an outstanding man. He's one of my heroes. I talked last night about David. He was one of the heroes in the Old Testament. Apostle Paul, one of my heroes in the New Testament. But you know, Paul was a man of rugged convictions. I mean, Paul had convictions. He knew what he believed, and he wasn't ashamed to tell it. Amen. And so, you see, he never hesitated to express his convictions. And Paul had a strong conviction about people serving the Lord. He believed that we ought to be what God wants us to be. You know, Paul said in Galatians 6 and 17, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. Yes, and so, you see, he was not ashamed. And we talked about last night in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And I rejoice in that. And so we're just praising God tonight that he was not ashamed, and because of the Lord Jesus. You see, the gospel, of course, is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And he tells us about the gospel. And he, you know, he says how that Christ died. And by the way, I'm grateful that we believe in the KJV Bible, because it's got how that he died and how that he was buried and how he rose again. How he died according to Scriptures. How he was buried and how that he arose again according to the Scriptures. And so we're grateful tonight for the fact. And by the way, some of the versions leave out that word how. But I tell you what, I believe it's important how he died. Amen? It's important how that he was buried, and it's important how he arose. I thank God for the fact that he arose, and we rejoice in that. He arose on time. God does everything on time. You see, he was born on time. He lived on time. He died on time. He is buried on time. He arose on time. He ascended on time. And glory to God, he's coming back on time. I don't know what it is, but I know one thing. I'm ready. I'm looking for him to come, because he is coming to call out his children. I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful to be among his. I'm thankful to be God's elect. Now thank God for all that he's done for us, and we rejoice in these wonderful truths. All right. So you see, Paul had strong convictions, and he was, you know, by the way, listen, Paul was a man that had results everywhere he went. He either had a revival or a riot. Amen? Yes, among those who believed and received, he had a revival. Among the others, he had a riot, and most of the time ended up in jail. But it didn't stop him. He kept on rejoicing, amen. And he was, because of God, he was faithful in the service of the Lord. Now then, there's some things we will notice tonight, and we'll talk about these things long ahead of time. I don't hardly ever get through this, put the caboose on and quit. But anyway, listen, as we talk about this great truth here in these verses here in chapter number 2, we see, first of all, talking about the believer's walk, we see our task or our job. We all have a job, amen. I believe I mentioned it last night, but everybody's member of the New Testament church has a job. Somebody said, I don't have a job. Yes, you do. God, first of all, you got a place to fill. We talked about that last night. I mean, you have a place. You need to be there. And secondly, we need prayer warriors. Thank God for prayer warriors. Thank God for that prayer, brother. I believe that that's a blessing. And so anyway, I'm thankful to God for our prayer warriors. And it bothers me to lose my prayer warriors. I lose them occasionally. I have buried folks, you know, that have told me that I pray for you every day. I used to visit a lady in a nursing home in Humboldt, Tennessee. She wasn't even a member of our church. But I'd go every time I went home there to visit, I would always visit her. She always had her Bible laying up on the bed. But anyway, I went to Jackson. And of course, we had this ministry there with Faith Baptist Church. So when I went to Jackson, I went to the other nursing homes. And so one day the administrator called me and he said, Brother Forner said, our folks are missing you coming over. He said, could you come back? He said, Miss Williams, every time I go in there, she's always wanting to know when I get Brother Forner to come back. But anyway, I started going back over there again. But the point I'm trying to say is this. Here's what she said. She told me time and again. She said, Brother Forner, I pray for you every day. I pray for you every day. And she's dead now, and I miss her. So I'd like to ask somebody you to pray for me. Listen, I believe that. I believe in prayer. I believe there's power in prayer. All right, and I believe you do pray for me. I'm thankful for that. But anyway, we talk about our task or our job. First of all, you see what the Lord wants of us. He wants us to bring honor and glory to Him. That's what the church is here for. Somebody said, well, the church is for this reason, that reason. But the main reason the church is here is to glorify God. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory. Thank God, in the church. Thank God for that fact. But anyway, we're here to bring honor and glory to God. So our task, you see, we have a task. And Paul made it very clear what our task is. If you look here in chapter 2, and there's several places you see what he had to say about the gospel. As we mentioned already about the gospel. What is the gospel? The death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. That's our message. Thank God for the privilege we have. You know, I thank God for the, as I've said, to be a child of God. And not only that, but I thank God for the privilege of serving a risen Savior. Our Savior's not dead. Our God's not dead. I want you to know He's much alive tonight. And I'm thankful to have the privilege to serve the risen Savior. He's alive. He's alive. I had a preacher friend who used to be in Cincinnati, Ohio. He's dead and gone now. But they would tell about him back years ago when you could preach on the street. And he'd go up on the court square there. I guess the court square, but anyway, uptown. You know, on the street corner. And he would want a crowd. And so he would lay his Bible down and put his hat on it. And he'd run around and around and say, it's alive! It's alive! It's alive! And when he got a crowd, he'd pick his hat up and preach. Amen. It's alive! Amen! The Word of God's alive! And I want you to know it means something. It's real tonight. A lot of folks don't know that, but it's real. A lot of folks think it's just a book. Somebody said, it's just another book. Somebody said, well, it's what somebody thought. No, no, fountain time. No, it's not what somebody thought. It's what God gave us. Amen. The Bible said God moved upon holy men. Holy men were moved as they were, and spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book is divinely inspired. This book, my friend, it's alive. And thank God for that. All right. Now then, so you see, Paul said, look at verse 2. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold. Notice that. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel. Yes, as we said a while ago, Paul was a bold man. Yes, and he stood and preached unto them as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was my petition. Then we see in verse 4, but as you were allowed of God to be put in trust. Notice that. Put in trust. I thank God that He has entrusted me with the gospel. God gave us a message and He went away and left us here to do the job. Now I believe that if the church is what they ought to be, it will be just as if Jesus Christ was here Himself. Because He's the one that organized the church. He set her up. He had her going before He ever left here. And on the day of Pentecost, He empowered that church. Somebody said, we need to have another Pentecost. No, we'll never have another Pentecost. We just need to tap in on the resources. God gave us what we need. And it's sufficient to do the job. Thank God for that power. Oh, there's power in the work of the Lord. Yes, and then in verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have impart unto you not the gospel only, but notice, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. Thank God tonight for the gospel. Oh, it's a great message. And I'm grateful. You know, I've been preaching, as I said last night, 47 years. But I'm thankful to God that I haven't had to change my message. Amen. It's the same message that we started off in the beginning. And so we rejoice in the Word of God. Now then, so we see our task, our job is to honor and glorify God. And then secondly, I want to talk about our book. We want to look here, you see in verses 10 through 13. We've already mentioned it over here in verse number, chapter number 1. He talked about the Word in verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes.
Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. Have notice, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God will just spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. Oh, yes. And then we notice here now in chapter 2 and verse 10, you are witnesses in God also how holy and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believed. You know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Listen, Paul had a burden for his people. We know it's such a joy to have a burden. And so in verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God. That's our text verse, walking. You know, the believers walk with the Lord. Then he goes on to say, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I'm thankful tonight that the Bible is all that we need. I like what Paul said as he wrote to young Timothy, the young preacher. You know, it's such a blessing to train a young preacher. We've had that privilege, you know, through the years. And I was just talking to Brother Cecil last night about our health. By the way, the first time I met him, I was a very sick man. He didn't know that at the time. But anyway, I was a very sick man, having some serious problems with my health, with my nerves, and so on. But anyway, I said that I was spreading myself too thin. You know, I was attending about 10 mission conferences a year, having an average of 6 revivals a year, and training eight young men in the ministry. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you see, and I've mentioned him, you know how God works. Isn't it? I'm so glad that I met him. Because if I hadn't met him, I wouldn't probably met you. Amen. I won't get into all that. But anyway, that's how God works. He works through people. Amen. He works through people. I'm proud of that. So anyway, I met Brother Cecil down there, and the next day he wanted to know if I knew H.A. Fortner, or he said A.J. But anyway, confide as my dad, and from that, you know, we're here. But anyway, I'm thankful that God works through human instrumentality. Now then, as we think about this, we're talking about the message. Now we're talking about the book. Yes? And I thank God that the Lord, you see, gives us what we need. The Bible has what we need. Think about that. That's as heavy a load as you can get. The Bible has what we need. And I like what the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy as he wrote to him there in 2 Timothy 3:15. And he said what? He said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Thank God for the Word. Listen, the older I get, the more I appreciate the Word of God. The older I get, the more I love the Word of God. And the more grateful I am for the power. Folks, there's power in that Word. As Brother Charlie said, it's alive. The Word of God is alive. Like I said, many people have all kind of ideas about the book. So they say it's just something that people thought. But oh, it's different. It's the Word of God. Now, but anyway, we talk about the book. We talked about our task or our job. Now we're looking at our book. What a blessing. So you see, with the Word of God, we can tell lost souls of the saving grace of God. Thank God, as I said, for God's amazing grace. Oh, it's all because of Him. Nothing within me, you see. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And Paul was a preacher that magnified the cross. And oh, what a blessing. What a joy. And what a thrill. All right. So, you see, it's the Word of God that brings conviction. And you know, one of the outstanding chapters of the Bible is Acts chapter 2. As I said a while ago, that's where the church was empowered. God, the Lord Jesus Christ established His church during His personal ministry. And the church had everything she needed when Jesus left here except the power. And on the day of Pentecost, God had promised that power. You know, there in Acts 1:8, He promised us that you shall receive power. You see, after the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. The charismatics tonight, they don't know what it's all about. Because they say when you get full of the Holy Ghost that you'll speak in tongues, or you'll run, or you'll jump, or you'll hop, or you'll jump over seats, or you'll shout. Well, you might do some of those things. I'm not saying that, because I get excited sometimes and I sputter and spit a whole lot. Good thing you're back as far as you are, because I'll probably spit on you. But anyway, I wouldn't do it intentionally. But anyway, you see, what I'm saying is, though, that's not what the Bible says. But the Bible says that when we get full of the Holy Ghost, we will be witnesses. That's what the book says. Alright, so we're talking about the Word of God. I'm thankful that there's power in the Word of God. So we find, we hit the first part of that chapter 2, and there we have the record of the day of Pentecost where the power came. But I won't get into all that. You know what it says. And a lot of folks all mixed up by some babbling. They weren't babbling. I'll tell you what they were doing. They were on, the preachers were preaching, and they understood every word being said. When the preacher stood up to preach, there were 17 different nationalities there, and every one of them understood what was being said. My son, Neil Fortner, is a missionary in Spain. He'd been there 27 years. He's mastered the language. And I'm not bragging, I'm just stating facts. Everybody don't master a language. Let me give you an example. You can get out here tomorrow on your work job, and you can run across these people that are from other countries, and you can detect it that quick. Now, they're speaking good English, but they got an accent. You can detect it. They can't detect Neil's. He's learned it so well that they cannot detect it. In fact, he played on the basketball team. And so everybody knew this American was coming to play on this certain team. And so they got there and they're playing along the line and they had a break and come to the place and somebody said, Where's that American? And somebody said, well, there he is right there. Of course, he's about like them, about their size, got black head and got a black mustache, and they thought he's one of them. You know what they did? They argued with them. They said, no, that can't be American. He talks like us. Can't be American. In other words, they didn't believe it. But anyway, so there at that day, there was about 17 different nationalities there, and every time when the person speak, every one of them understood what was being said. The Bible talks about tongues and languages. Just like I'm doing tonight, I'm talking to you in a tongue. Amen? American tongue. I'm talking to you in the American English. Amen? You understand it. Neil's preaching tonight. I wouldn't understand what he said. I don't know. I'm sorry. I wish I knew more Spanish. I've been over three times, four times. But anyway, and I feel real bad when I go because those folks are so precious. They really are. They're like you people here. You know, I appreciate this church. I've talked about this church for years and about the unity that's here. It's like a family. And that's the way it ought to be. So anyway, that's the way they are in Spain. And they just love us. And last time I was over there, one of the men that's been there for years, he came to my wife and he said, when y'all retire, we want you to move over here and you won't have to do anything. He told my wife, he said, I'll keep your house. I'll do your cooking. Wow, yeah. That's what they feel. And so we was telling Neil about what he said, and Neil said, well, Dad, that's what they plan. They plan for you to retire and come over here. I guess time I get retired, I won't be able to go nowhere. Like I said last night, I ain't got any plans about retiring. But anyway, I may be retarded, but I hadn't retired yet. But anyway, you see, I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and why quit when you're having such a good time, amen? Listen, my friend, I tell you, like I said a while ago, it's a blessing to serve God. It's a blessing to be faithful and just stand your place. I don't claim to be a big preacher, but I know, as like I said, I get something out of it. I get a joy out of it. And so, not many people go to sleep on me. Most people stay awake. Yeah, you know, like a preacher was preaching one time, and the man went to sleep. And the preacher stopped and he said, Sister so-and-so said, wake up your husband. She said, you wake him up, you put him to sleep. So anyway, we don't want to put anybody to sleep. I'm serious, folks. Listen, we've got a message. We've got a message to preach, and I rejoice in it. I'm excited about serving God. No, it's a joy and a thrill. All right, so there's power in the Word. So on this day of Pentecost, you see Peter started preaching along about verse 13 and on down through verse 36. But what happened on verse 37? Well, they said they were pricked in their hearts. Listen, we're talking about the Word of God. The Word of God has power. And they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them what to do. He said, first of all, repent. In other words, get saved, first of all. And then, secondly, be baptized. Some people take that verse, Acts 2:38, and just run off with it. One little boy went to church one time, and He went home and his mama said, "Son, what did the preacher preach on?" She said, he said he preached on Acts 2.38. He said, he made this statement. He said, "You give me an Acts and 2.38 and I'll kill every Baptist preach in the world." Anyway, that's the way some people feel. But, oh, we know what we know it doesn't teach baptism for salvation. It's we get born again, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you're baptized. But anyway, he said, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." All right. So anyway, they, what I'm saying is the Word of God brings conviction. You see, and I'm thankful for that. And the Bible tells us that the believers, you know, in James 1:18, he tells us that the believer, we are begotten by the Word. Thank God for the Word of God. Yes, what a joy. And so the Word of God regenerates us. As you know, Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. How long? Forever. I mean, once saved, always saved. When God saves us, we're saved for eternity. Glory to God. That'll make a Baptist shout. Amen. Listen, you know, we sit around and dried up on the stem, and we got a bunch out there that they don't even believe they're saved, and they get all excited about it. Amen. They don't know whether they're going to go to heaven tomorrow or not, amen. They're afraid they'll fall from grace. They're afraid they'll do something wrong. But you know, we have the truth. I preached the other night, and on the subject, what is truth? I mean, preaching while I'm here, I don't know what I'm going to preach right now. I tried to figure it all out before I left, and I got it all mixed up now. Just try to do what God wants me to do. Oh, but anyway, so we thank God for the truth. All right. So Peter is saying there, and he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thank God for the power of the Word. Yes, and so the Word of God, you see, produces faith. You know, in Romans 10:17, the Bible said that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And I'm hung up on that. I believe in proclaiming the Word of God. Proclaiming the Word of God, and God will bless His Word. Yes, like I said about Apostle Paul, everywhere he went, he got results. Might not have been like he wanted, but he got results. He might end up in jail, but that didn't stop him. He told them about Jesus anyway. Okay. Now then. So the Word of God has power to penetrate the hardest heart. You know, Jeremiah 23, verse 29 says that God's Word is like a fire. It's like a hammer that breaks the rock. You can take something heavy and start hitting on a rock or a piece of concrete. I've broken up a little concrete. And you keep pounding. You take a sledgehammer and start pounding, and after a while you'll see a crack start, and next thing you know it's broken. And that's where the Word of God is. We just need to use it. Listen, folks, I believe that. I believe with all my heart there's power in the Word. And I believe God wants us to preach the Word. Yes, and God's able to take care of it. All right. So the Word of God produces faith. The Word of God has power, you see. We're thankful for that. The Word of God, you see, has power to bring about the new birth. I like what we have in Titus 3, 4, and 5. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the works and regeneration and union of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. And there's not anything in this world and concerning the Word of God that's any more misunderstood than the work of the Spirit. Man, there's so many different ideas about the work of the Spirit. And I tell you what, it's real. And I love as we think about the work of the Spirit of God. And that God must do it. You know, Jesus, He testified to that fact. John 6:44. Jesus Himself said, "No man can come unto Me except My Father which has sent Me draw him." We all know, we believe, we know that. That's what the Word of God has to say. There, thank God there's power in the Word of God. The Word of God is seed out of which the divine nature springs in the heart. Thank God for the seed. You know, we have the lessons of the seed sower. And there in Matthew, but mainly in Luke chapter 8, he says that the seed is the Word of God. And I'm a old timer. I never was a farmer, but I farmed a little bit. But anyway, I'm living in town now. But they tell me that you can get the boy out of the country, but you can't get the country out of the boy. And I still have a garden. I used to have a big garden, and I made a concrete drive and came into and changed my, have a double carport now. But anyway, just got about a half a garden. It's about 20 by 20, but boy, it does good. I mean, it does good. I won't get into all that, but I got four little rows of green beans that are only 20 foot long, and last year my wife counted 150 quarts. But anyway, I get off of that. God, you see, but I'm a farmer, amen. I love to plant the seed, and I love to watch it come up. All right, so, but anyway, what I'm saying is, the Word of God is seed, and all God wants us to do is to sow it. God didn't tell us to make it come up. God didn't tell us to do the work. God said, sow the seed. Oh, hallelujah. We've got a job to do, and the Word of God will get the job done. Talked about my dad a while ago. God's Word will tear you up. My dad, like I said, he was a drunk, and of course, when he was drinking a little when Mama married him, and they talked it over, and he did like a lot of folks do. He said, well, if you'll marry me, I'll quit. Well, she married him, and he didn't quit. But anyway, so Brother Sammy Price was going to have a revival down in Obine. That's down there close to the Columbus Park. Okay, 7 miles, 8 miles. And anyway, as back then, many people have cars. Brother Sammy Price didn't have a car. So every day he'd start walking. He either walked or somebody came along. And back then, didn't many people come along? Because then many people have a car. But I'm talking about the amazing grace of God tonight. So he preached. Anyway, my dad was breaking wheat stubble ground. He went in on Saturday night and told my mama. He said, Estelle, get the kids ready tonight. We're going to church. I'm sure she probably about ready to faint, but she didn't say a word. She got the kids ready when daddy came. Of course, when daddy said something, he usually did it. And he trained us that way. Amen. Make your words your bond. I get off of that. But we're way off from that today. People tell you, but now I won't get into that. Throw a colus on this service. But anyway, you know, so he came in, they went to church. Saturday night, went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And Wednesday night, he had all he could take. He went home mad. And he said, he jumped on my mama. And he said, Estelle, he said, you told Brother Price every bad thing I've ever done. The truth is that my mama hadn't told Brother Price nothing.
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost of God rung his bell, amen. And so he went to bed mad, and I'm sure my mama slept. I'm sure she, rather than sleep, I mean, she prayed all night. Got up next morning, he didn't say a word, went to work, came in at lunch and said, Estelle, get the kids ready, we're going to church. I'm sure she's about ready to shout. And so anyway, he went to church and he preached. Brother Sammy Price preached, and my dad said when they got the invitation, he's standing about where Brother Jim is, and so he stepped out, and he said when he stepped out an aisle, he said, oh God, have mercy on me. If I die and go to hell, I'll go there trusting Jesus. And God saved him before he got to the preacher. Woo! God is good, amen. I mean, God is able to save. You know, a lot of folks have the idea you gotta come down the aisle and you gotta go through all this form. By the way, I'm prone to believe that most people have the form down so pat, they come down the aisle, shake the preacher's hand, go through the water, and they're still as lost as they ever were. Haven't been born again. I believe to be saved, you've got to trust God so entirely and so completely that God is willing to impute into us the righteousness of God. Until that, we're not saved. I don't care how many times we walk the aisle. I don't care what kind of words we say. We're not saved until we come to a place to repent of our sins and trust Jesus so entirely and so completely that God is willing to impute into us His righteousness. We got a lot of folks today that do not know anything about the imputed righteousness of Christ. Oh, salvation is the work of God's grace. He does it in the heart. And He does all of it. We have nothing to do with it except believe and receive. Oh, now then, thinkers, move along now. So remember, the Word of God produces faith. Yes, faith is a product of a certain cause. That certain cause is the preached Word of God. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. He didn't say foolish preaching. We got enough foolish preaching. We got enough pulpit clowns. Amen? There's nothing wrong with saying something funny once in a while, but I tell you what, this is serious business. I remember my dad, when he went out in Arizona, before we went out there for the mission work, he went out there to make a visit. He went to Williams, Arizona. That's up there close to Flagstaff, close to the Grand Canyon. And my daddy didn't talk much. And except about the Bible. But he got to church, and there was an Indian man there. And I got there early. My dad always got there early. And they were talking, and they weren't getting very far because my dad didn't know any Indian, and he didn't know much English, and so they weren't doing too good. But finally, their Indian got, he realized they weren't getting very far, and here's what he said. He said, "You business, me business, big business." Woo, what a message. Big business, amen. Yes, I mean, it's real. Yes, thank God for that truth. All right. So we thank God for the power of preaching. Now look here in our text here in chapter 2 in verse number 13. He said, "For the which cause we also thank we God without ceasing, because," notice, "when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually," thank God for the effectual working of the Spirit of God in our heart, "worketh also in you that believe." You know, Brother Jim Wargo read John 17:17. "Sanctify them." Amen. "Through thy truth, thy word is truth." Yes. Oh, what a blessing. The word of God is truth. My, my. What a blessing. All right. Now then. So you see, saving faith rests on the word of God. Faith must have a foundation. And the foundation is the Word of God. What a blessing. Now then, you see, not only do we see our task and our job, and we see our Word, the book, the Word of God, and then we see our adversary. Look here in verse 18. We heard the close now. He says, "Wherefore, we would have you, or have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again." Notice here. "But Satan hindered us." Satan is our adversary. We need to fight him. I tell the church, you know, I've been there 22 years in September, and I told them, I guess, there's one thing I harp on, and that is, grow up. Not be babies. I said, somehow or another people have the idea that a Baptist church is supposed to fuss and fight all the time. Some people don't believe you're very spiritual unless you fuss and fight. I don't know where they got that idea. But we've been able to, I've been there 22 years and we haven't had any fusses and fights. And by the way, we've gone through two building programs and didn't have one cross word. And I tell you, that's saying a mouthful. So God had to be in it, amen. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that, you see, there's a work to be done. But I tell our folks, listen, don't be fighting amongst one another, because the Lord wants to fight for His glory and fight against the devil. I tell the same thing to young couples. I don't marry anybody anymore unless I can have some time to give them some Bible lessons. And I make it very clear to them. And I said, you need to understand something. That you don't need to fight one another. You need to join together and fight against the devil, because the devil wants to tear up your home. And I can tell you one thing, he's doing a pretty good job of it. He's doing a good job of tearing up our homes. And I'm sorry to say, he's doing a good job of wrecking the American minds. I heard a preacher preaching last week. He's a missionary preaching in Humboldt, Tennessee, and I think he knew what he's talking about. And he said, according to statistics, 51% of the American people say they don't see anything wrong with people shacking up. They call it living together now, but when I was growing up, it was shacking up, amen. And I can tell you, it wasn't right, but I know, I can remember times when they'd burn a house down. They did. I'm not saying it's right, but that's how strong they felt against it. And he also said more than 50% that they don't see anything wrong with homosexuality. American people, can you imagine? I never thought I'd live to see that. In fact, I've learned a lot of things. I didn't think I'd live to be an old man. I didn't. I didn't really believe I'd get to be old. I thought Jesus was going to come a long time ago. Amen. But anyway, maybe I'm not old, but anyway, I've been around a long time. And I thank God for that. I thank God for health. And you know, every time I get up to preach, I thank God for the health that I have, because I could be in the graveyard. You know, about 11 years ago, I split wide open, did open heart surgery. And I'll tell you one thing. I learned what it means to really, you know, really get to open and say, "Lord, here I am." He
If you can see fit to spare my life, I want you to. But if you don't, I'm coming home. Woo, that's good. I mean, I realize that anytime you split a body open, pull the ribs apart and take a heart out and work on it, that's pretty serious. Pretty serious. But God's been good to me and put me back together, and I'm still going. Still spitting and sputtering. But anyway, now don't misunderstand me. You don't have to spit and sputter. Your pastor, he don't preach like I do. Not supposed to. God didn't call him to. But I love him, appreciate him. And we preach together down in the big state of Mississippi. Mine, two different places. Yeah, we had a good time, and I like his preaching. You got a good preacher, you got a good pastor. Amen. Now, they know, I love pastors, and because that's my job. That's my position in life. That's my place. Amen? Because when you turn me loose, I'm going to make a beeline back to Tennessee. That's what the bee does. You know, I think I preached that message here a few years ago on the similarities and the peculiarities of the honeybee and the Baptist. Remember that? But anyway, and those bees, when they get down and get a load of nectar, they fly straight up. And they clean their antennas off, and they clean themselves off, and they get up there and they fly around and around until they get a message from the hive, and they make a beeline back to the hive. And they don't stop and play with the others either. They don't. They go back to their own hive. They don't mess around. They're independent. Whoa, I like that. Amen. Did you know that if there was only one beehive in the world, it'd be a beehive? Amen. They don't have to tell the others. They operate on their own. Amen. They're independent. Whoa, I like that. They're missionary. Yeah. I'm not going to re-preach that, but that's in my heart. I like that. Oh, listen. Now then, because I'm a Baptist, not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. Oh, I'm kind of like, Brother Baptist, like I'm the Fortins. I know I got something I'm ashamed of, but I'm not ashamed of a Baptist. Okay. Anyway, some folks are. They're dropping the name. May not be in Missouri, but they sure are in Tennessee. They're popping up all around. If they're ashamed of it, let them leave the name. They probably cease to be Baptist before they drop the name. Amen? Okay. We're on the same page, aren't we? Yes. But anyway, I've got to find that caboose somewhere. We've got to try to quit. And I'm thankful for our helper. Thank God for our helper. We'll have more to say about this later on this week, I'm sure. But anyway, you know, in Hebrews 13 and 6, the Bible says, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Thank God, He's my helper. he's there, you know. Somebody said, wouldn't you like to have a millionaire support me? I said, no, I'd rather have God. I might need more than a million, amen. Listen, but anyway, I won't get into that. These are great truths. All right. You know, we have one who dwells in us. Thank God He lives. He lives. He lives in my heart. Kind of like a little boy, I was flying the kite. Kite got out of sight. Somebody came along and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "How do you know? You can't see it." He said, "No, sir, I can't see it, but I sure feel it tugging." Woo! Amen? I don't see the Lord with my eyes, but thank God He's real. I feel Him in my heart. He's real. He lives. He lives. He lives in my heart. Oh, it excites and thrills my soul. Yes. And so we have one who stands ready to help. Because He abides within us. He's a very help, very pleasant help in time of trouble. And He desires to fill us with His power. Think about it. We're talking about walking with the Lord. He enables us to be usable. I want to be usable. I want to serve God till I die. And you know, that's what I have a desire to do. Yes. And so, the Lord works in our heart. Then in closing, look at verse number 19. He says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" You know, I'm thankful that the believer will have some rewards. I'm thankful for that. And I preached a revival up in Kentucky a few years ago, and there's a guy there he had the name Baptist, but he's another flavor. But anyway, I won't get into that. But anyway, he was getting on to me from a message. He said, you know good and well that's going to be rewards in heaven. I said, well, anyway, I won't get into all that. But a lot of, so therefore, everybody don't believe it.
But that doesn't change it. It's still true. Thank God for that. So you see, the greatest joy of the believer is to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And then we're going to be rewarded. But you know what we're going to do? We'll be able to lay those trophies at His feet. Oh, yes. Thank God for that wonderful and glorious truth. And so, I tell you what I'm fixing to do. I'm fixing to put the caboose on now and quit. So I thank God tonight for this great truth. You know, the believer walking with the Lord. It's real, folks.
Amen.
And tonight, as Brother Jimmy mentioned a while ago, here along the same line, you know, what about it? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you? Do you have that good relationship? It's a blessing to have a good relationship. You know, God gave me a good woman. My wife has been a good wife. She's been a good preacher's wife. She's been a good mother. And I thank God for it. It really bothers me because she's ill. But anyway, we've had a good relationship. And that, you know, it's real. I mean, we're still in love. We've already celebrated 51 years. Told you I was getting old. 51 years together. And we still love one another. I still call her honey. And I still tell her I love her. You know, we've had a good relationship all of our life. All of our, not all of our life, but the biggest part of it. I met her when I was real young. I mean, I was really young. But I'll tell you one thing. Somebody said it's puppy love. Might have been, but sure was real to the puppy.
Yeah.
Real. I'm talking about it's real, folks. It's real. And our service with God's real. And the world don't know that. All they got is religion. They got to go to church. They got to go through all the rituals. But we've got it. It's real. And we get up in the morning. We're at church tonight. We're having a great time. I hope you are. I am. But anyway, in the morning we get up and we can still have joy. Get up and say, thank God I'm alive. Thank God for all the blessings the Lord's given me. Thank God for life itself. Thank God for breath. I mean, a lot of men, 70 years old, not able to get around, much less preach. But thank God for life. Now, the question is, folks, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. The question is, what about your relationship with Jesus? Is it real? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you got to go around all the time waving your hand. Wait. I'm not talking about that. If you want to, that's okay. Help yourself. I didn't say you had to do that, though. And I tell you one thing. My Bible tells me that we can have joy in the midst of the storm. I ain't got time to tell you all about my problems, but most of you know we've had some problems in our life. We had a sick daughter for 10 years. I mean, we had her in the hospital. In the 10-year period, we had her in the hospital from 1 to 7 times every year. And 2 of those times, the hospital bill went over $100,000 twice. Wouldn't be no way for her to pay out if she hadn't had insurance. And whenever we finally got her to Phoenix, Arizona, or Scottsdale, for the surgery, Dr. Beard, the one that did the surgery for ex-President Reagan and Nancy, he did her surgery. He came to told us she weighed 55 pounds, 20-something-year-old girl, 55 pounds. He said, listen, she's went through the surgery well, all of her vital signs are good, but he said she cannot stand any infection because he said her nutrients are zero. He said, as long as everything goes good, she's going to be okay. But he repeated it. He said she cannot stand any infection. She's supposed to stay there from 10 to 14 days, and in 5 days was on her way home, flying home. But anyway, God's good. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm trying to quit. But listen, it's real. This is real. I'm talking about it's not something that we thought up. It's real. Do you have a good relationship with God? First of all, are you saved? Have you been born again? If you haven't, God's able to save you. Jesus died for you. And all you got to do is accept what He did. Is God working on you? Is the Holy Spirit leading you tonight? Is the Holy Spirit troubling you? Are you like Atlee Fortner? Has the Holy Spirit troubled you? And you think you're the meanest person in the world? You think somebody told me everything that you ever did? Oh, listen. Then you say, well, preacher, yeah, I know I'm saved. Well, okay, but do you have a good relationship with Jesus? Are you walking close to the Lord?
enjoy? Are you enjoying serving God, or is it just a drudgery? A lot of folks get up on Sunday morning and say, "Oh, Sunday morning, gotta go to church." God help us. We ought to wake up like a goose in a new world and say, "Whoa!" and go to church. Glory! Hallelujah! What a blessing. That's God's message. I may never preach another one, but that one was on my heart. Now I have delivered the mail. You don't get mad at the mailman. He brings a bill. You just pay it. So I'm just a mailman. Just delivered the goods tonight. And I've enjoyed it. Thank you for letting me be here. I'm excited about being here. But the point is, we won't have an invitation. If the lady would come to the piano and the song leader come, we want to give an invitation. Is God working on your heart? I never ask anybody to do anything unless the Holy Spirit works. Because if you do, it won't be worth doing. If God's Holy Spirit don't do it, it won't get done. I know what I'm talking about. I've told you. You heard me talk about it last night. That's why I'm preaching, because God called me. And I honestly, I did not think I could do it. I don't do too good a job, but I sure get enjoyment out of it. But listen, I didn't think I could do it. I said, "Lord, how can a man preach when he can't even remember nothing?" As a teenage boy, I had trouble remembering. I had a little old thing to say when I was in high school, out in the middle of a gym, and the kids all around, and I got up, well, not only kids, but adults too, and in the middle of a ball game, and I had just a few words to say, and I had that all down pat. I'd repeated that and repeated it and repeated it, so I could say it backwards, and I got up there and I couldn't say nothing. And my teacher had to coach me through it. I finally got through it and sweating all over. I thought, "Man, Lord, I can't do that." But you'd be surprised what you can do when God's in it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand here to sing number
68.
Let God have His way, would you, while we sing.